Bobby Cohen is back, and his show is Takeover Talk. And here is Bobby Cohen.
Thank you, Doug. It's Monday, October 15th, and today is another live hour of Takeover Talk. I'm your host, Bobby Cohen. I welcome all my listeners here in the United States, as well as those worldwide. Our focus will be to assist you in acquiring the most current and comprehensive information on potential public takeover targets in the U.S. capital markets. Remember, I'm just guiding you to this information. You need to do your due diligence before buying or selling any stock. M&A is unpredictable, and it's usually not in the best interest to acquire stocks simply because rumors are percolating. You have to like it as a standalone company as well. Okay. The call-in number to talk to me is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. Call me. Let me know what's on your mind. We have a caller. Rox, it's Bobby. What's on your mind?
Hey, Bobby. How's it going, Bobby?
Good, Rox. Thanks for calling.
No problem. I have a question about Blue Apron.
Yes.
I saw they had a stock thing on CNBC, and I see Mr. Wonderful thought it was going to be a go, and I see it dropped in half. It's almost like a buck. I'm wondering if that would be a good takeover.
Well, yeah. You know, Rox, we had mentioned it many weeks ago as a potential takeover target.
We did
mention it as a potential takeover target, and we did footnote Mr. Wonderful, as he had mentioned to your point on CNBC, that he thought that there was a very good chance that this could get taken over as well. Just so you know, Rox, the acquirers that I had heard were the likes of Costco, possibly Walmart. Those two big companies could be looking at Blue Apron, amongst, you know, probably others as well. But it is speculative. Like you said, it is trading a little bit north. It's trading a little bit north
Seems
of
like
a dollar.
Yeah, it's pretty low. I mean, it used to be pretty, you know, much higher. So it looks like it could be a good deal for somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Did you mention on your show also Fitbit? Was that mentioned at all? Fitbit?
Yes. Look at that. Brilliant mind. You know what? Look at that. Great minds think alike. Think alike, Roxanne. We did mention
I gotcha.
Yeah, first day with my
tongue. I keep my eyes on those.
Yeah. Fitbit as well. Again, Fitbit, I believe, is trading just north of $5. Again, was once a very high flyer. There had been takeover talk, I believe, in the past, believe it or not, that maybe an Apple computer I don't know if it was a Toshiba or a very large Korean company may be taking a hard look at Fitbit as well. But again, these companies are extremely speculative, especially the Blue Apron trading, I think, at $1.20, $1.30. It's almost like buying an option. Am I right, Roxanne?
I gotcha. Yeah, well, it's so low that it could either fold or somebody would take it over.
100%. I totally agree with you on that. Rox, what do you think about what's going on in the equity markets over the last 72 hours? What are your thoughts?
I just think it's a dead cat bounce.
You think so? So you think traders, by definition, might be you'd be a better seller into this rally?
Oh, for sure. I think that it's only 6% correction on the S&P, and it's got way more to go.
Okay. Well, you know what? I kind of share your vision as well. Just so you know, I believe you and I are in the minority on that, Rox.
Hey, you know, that's my after earnings. You don't know when it could happen, but it'll be. I think the crush is going to happen. I think it needs to correct more. Maybe 15%, 20%.
Look, like. My mantra when I owned a brokerage firm, when I was managing hedge funds, was I'd rather be 2 years early than a day late. So I kind of understand exactly where you're coming from on that, Rox.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people are, you know, too much complacency. If you saw today the numbers and the confidence, it's just too high. You know, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, I totally. There've been some smart people that also believe that share your vision as well, that maybe some of the air is going to start coming out of this balloon, and it could be shortly, and it could be now, Rox. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay,
so I'm
Rox.
Kind of, staying on the sidelines, but thanks.
Okay, Rox.
So great. Okay.
All right, Rox. Thanks for calling in.
Bobby.
Okay.
Anytime. Okay, Bobby. Take care.
Bye, bye, Rox. Okay, that was Roxanne. Boy, she had a good question. She asked about Blue Apron as a potential takeover target, a company that we had mentioned many weeks ago. And then she even asked about Fitbit as well. So obviously she's looking at certain companies that are, you know, that are single digit, and she's hoping to reap a reward on these speculative stocks, these speculative companies that could be potential takeover targets. Well, I just wanted to mention to you that takeovers are alive and well this Monday. Huge merger today. Huge. Harris Corp to merge with L3 in an all-stock deal, creating defense contracting giant with $34 billion in market cap. That's right, B, billion. It's Harris Corp, HRS, and L3, LLL. Harris Corp, $172 today, up $17, up 11%. L3, LLL, $220. Up $24 today, up 13% today. What moves? One day, huge companies. Takeovers are alive and well. Okay, Doug's telling me I have another caller. Who do we have?
Steve from East Islip.
Steve, it's Bobby. How are you?
Great, Bobby. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for calling in, Steve.
Oh, my pleasure. I have a quick question for you. I was wondering if I think the stock market might correct 20% or so over, say, a 12 to 18 month period, what are some safe havens that I might be able to park my money in?
Huh. Wow. A wonderful, wonderful question, Steve. Again, if by some chance, to paraphrase you, the market should correct 20% over the next 12 to 18 months, you would like to know where are there some potential safe havens to place your capital. Okay.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, Steve. Let me just share with you. One spot comes to mind that I'd like to share with everybody. Believe it or not, it's a simple 12-month or one-year certificate of deposit, a CD, which is FDIC insured by the government. I believe if you or any of the other listeners Google Marcus.com, which I believe is a Goldman Sachs subsidiary, is their bank. My belief, just so you know, Steve, is that they're offering a 1 year, 12-month CD, 1 year, yielding 2.55%, Steve. No risk.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if by some chance you believe there is going to be a correction along the way and you want to take some chips off the table, you might want to consider this 12-month CD. I'm not saying there may not be higher yield CDs out there, Steve. Okay? But I do believe a CD is like, believe it or not, is like Xanax. It helps you relax at night. You know what I'm saying?
I do. You
know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people still remember that 54% correction that happened from 2007 to the March low of approximately 6,400 in March of 2009. Not saying that is going to happen again, but it's still front and center in a lot of people's minds. And a lot of people's 401k, Steve, became 101ks. You remember that,
right?
Correct?
I do.
And it was painful, Steve. Painful. And some people ended up, I hate to say it, ended up throwing in the towel right at the bottom. And they got cleaned out. So we don't know, Steve, if by some chance, we do not know if there is going to be a correction. But if there is going to be one, I think to your question, parking some money in a 12-month CD at 2.55% makes good business sense, Steve. Okay?
Okay, thank you. I got it. That was great.
Okay, Steve. Thanks again for calling, okay? I hope to hear from you
soon. You got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, we have another caller. Hey, Joe, it's Bobby over at Takeover Talk. How are you?
Bobby, how you doing? It's Joe from the in-between. How's everything going with you?
Everything is good. Thanks for calling in. Haven't heard you call in a few weeks, so I'm glad. It's great to hear your voice, Joe.
Yeah, we've been a little busy now that the summer's over, so we get to pick up a little bit. And we got our Oktoberfest coming up actually this weekend, which is pretty good. So if you're in town, stop by the Oktoberfest.
Oh, that's right. Oh, let me tell all my listeners, those listeners who are on Long Island, Nassau County, Suffolk County, this is Joe who owns the In-Between. It's a great pub, great food, great drink, great people. He's got Oktoberfest coming this weekend, right, Joe?
Yep, it's Saturday, and we'll have the accordion player and oopah band, a Stein hoisting competition, and all the food and all the regular Oktoberfest goodies. But actually, the reason why I was calling you is I wanted to see how Campbell's Soup is doing with that takeover and what's going on with it now.
Okay, Joe. I'm glad you're staying on top of Campbell's Soup, which is, you know, which I believe has come in a little bit since we first mentioned it a few weeks ago. I think the stock is currently trading at $38, but, you know,
you're right.
I remember. I'm sorry?
No, I think you're right. Right about there. It's trading about $38.
Yeah, I think it's currently trading at around $38. And I remember just recently reading an October 1st, 2018 Reuters article. Now, it did mention, like I had verbalized weeks ago, that Dan Loeb, the very big activist fund manager who is attempting to remove the Campbell Soup board, he is, you know, trying to put in his own slate of directors because he's attempting to push for a sale. Still push for a sale of Campbell's Soup, okay? And Loeb called Campbell in the article, Joe, an attractive takeover target and could get $58 a share. Now, keep in mind, Joe, and all my listeners, that the billionaire investor, Dan Loeb, called Campbell Soup an iconic asset and attractive takeover target that could fetch, as I mentioned, as much as $58 a share. Joe, that's almost a 50% premium to where it's currently trading at. So my sense is that this story is still developing, Joe. Okay? And I think that, you know, we should all, not only you, I think everyone should, you know, just continue to keep an open mind and continue to comb the web and read the papers to see what's going on with Dan Loeb and his attempt to not only take over the board of directors with his own people, but to possibly finding an acquirer for Campbell Soup. Okay, Joe?
Yeah, that sounds good. I've been following. I was just wondering, you know, what your outtake was, but that sounds like the right thing to do.
It's still in play. It is still in play. I believe it's a fluid situation, and from what I read, Joe, it's not dead money. So, like Dan Loeb said, it's an iconic asset. I mean, Campbell Soups has been around, I believe, for over 150 years. It has a tremendous franchise. And you being in the food business, Joe, I think you, out of all people, could appreciate that.
Yep, you're right. I do have a few shares still with Campbell, so I might just hold on to them and see what happens with it.
You know what? That, again, at the end of the day, you make your own decision, but that may make very good sense, Joe. So, Joe, I hope to see you over the next few days, and I hope my listeners, if they're in your area this weekend, they pop in to Oktoberfest over at the In-Between, okay, Joe?
We'll have a drink with you and whoever pops in, all right?
That would be great,
Joe.
And
as they say, I'll be the same, my friend, and thanks for your help.
Always, Joe. Thanks for thinking of me, and thanks for thinking of our listeners, okay?
All right, thank you. Take care,
Okay, bro. Great. Bye-bye, Joe. Okay, that was Joe. He's haven't heard from Joe in the last few weeks. He's been busy. Just a tremendous, great guy, I got to tell you. Great guy. Consider him a good friend. Okay, now, let's get into the tour weeds. No pun intended. I believe October 17th, which is just around the corner, is the day marijuana is supposed to be legalized in Canada. Many of my listeners have been asking me if there are any potential takeover targets in the marijuana space. So I did some homework. I found a recent September 30th, 2018 Motley Fool article. The headline, three marijuana stocks that are takeover targets. Now, this article was so good, I didn't want to paraphrase it. I'd like to read it to you. But keep in mind, I'm going to give you the three companies that they mention now so you could write them down. If you have pen, put it to paper now. The first one is Organigram Holdings, symbol OGRM, F as in Frank, trades at around $6.20. The next company is Canna Royalty Corporation, CNNRF, trades at around $5.75. And the third company is Canopy Growth, symbol CGC, $54 $1.50. Now, keep in mind, before I get to this article, many of these stocks that I just mentioned are trading close to their 52-week highs. Not saying they can't go higher, but just trying to help you put things in perspective. Some people may want to wait for a pullback, okay? You do your own due diligence, do your own homework before making an investment. Now, this article, just so you know, again, a Motley Fool article, three marijuana stocks that are takeover targets. Now, the marijuana industry has been virtually unstoppable of late, and it's not hard to understand why, just in a matter of a couple, 3 days, on October 17th, Canada will make history by becoming the first industrialized country in the world to legalize recreational cannabis. In doing so, it'll remove the shackles of 9 decades of prohibition and allow billions of dollars to flow into the industry. Knowing that sales are about to soar, investors have been positioning themselves in marijuana stocks to take advantage of this growth. Those who've had the fortitude and luck to invest in pot stocks in early 2016 and hang on until now have probably seen high 3 or 4 digit percentage returns. But the gains may not be over, at least for marijuana stocks that could be takeover targets, that this article says. Keeping in mind that this is an exercise in pure speculation, and with the understanding that investing in a stock solely because you believe it'll be bought out isn't a sound investment thesis, here are 3 marijuana stocks that are the likeliest to be acquired, as per this article. As I mentioned, the first one, Organigram Holdings. Consider this partly biased because this is the writer's favorite marijuana stock. But small cap Atlantic-based grower Organigram Holdings, the symbol I mentioned to you, OGRMF, has all the hallmarks of an attractive takeover target for a huge cannabis company or perhaps even an outside company in the beverage or tobacco industry that may want in on the cannabis movement. Organigram has a number of things working in its favor. First, as noted, it's an Atlantic grower, whereas most of its peers are located in British Columbia, Quebec, or Ontario. This gives the company geographic appeal that Wall Street might be overlooking, which would make Organigram something of a bargain here. Also, no other grower out there is making better use of its growth space than Organigram, the article goes on to say. The company is employing a 3-tiered growing system in its 480,000 square foot Moncton, New Brunswick facility. Okay? When capacity expansion is fully complete, Organigram should be producing 113,000 kilograms of weed a year. Mind you, there are competitors out there working with more than 1 million square feet of growing capacity that'll struggle to yield 75,000 kilograms annually. The company's decision to focus on a single facility as well as employ 3-tiered growing system should keep costs down. Okay? Let's just see. What else? I'm just going through this here. This is it. It says, though a buyout is no guarantee, it looks to have all the boxes checked as an attractive takeover target. The next company that's mentioned in the article is Canna Royalty. Even though it began as an investment company, Canna Royalty is a small cap ancillary pot player that could become a buyout candidate. Why Canna Royalty? The simple answer is that it aims to service a profitable niche of California's pot industry. Moving away from its roots as a royalty company, Canna has been focusing its attention on acquiring distribution market share in California's burgeoning cannabis industry. The Golden State, which could have higher annual weed sales than all of Canada, is expected to feature thousands of branded products across hundreds of licensed dispensaries. Yet there are very few distributors that get the product from growers to retailers. Canna Royalty aims to gobble up market share in that niche, which should turn out to be profitable and yield predictable cash flow. Canna Royalty is a very attractive target for a larger industry player angling for predictable cash flow and profits. Okay. And the third company, the article goes on to mention, is kind of like the big daddy of cannabis in Canada. Canopy Growth Corp. Canopy Growth symbol trades on the New York Stock Exchange, CGC, Charlie George Charlie, might be the second largest publicly traded marijuana stock in the world. But that doesn't mean it's exempt from being bought out. In October 2017, Modelo and Corona beer maker Constellation Brands, which itself trades on the New York Stock Exchange, invested around $190 million into Canopy Growth for a 9.9 equity stake. Then, fast forward, in June 2018, Constellation Brands gobbled up a third of Canopy's company, a convertible note offering. $600 million that they put in. And then more recently, on August 15th, Constellation announced a game-changing equity investment. You're sitting down? Of $3.8 billion in Canopy Growth. Once approved by regulators, Constellation will own a 38% stake in Canopy, with the ability to push its stake above 50% should it choose to exercise the 139.7 million warrants that came with its investment, as well as convert its debt to common stock. Wow. Those are three companies the article mentions that could be potential takeover targets in the marijuana space in Canada. Again, Organigram Holdings, Canna Royalty Corporation, Canopy Growth. Keep an eye on these three. Continue to do your due diligence. Okay. Call in and talk to me. Look, last week, there were people that were calling in right at the end of the show. If you'd like to speak to me now and share your ideas or you have a good question, call me at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. I'd like to hear from you. Well, I'm gonna take a quick 30 seconds, a quick minute. I'm going to go right to a radio commercial, okay? Looking for a quick, personalized insurance quote? Go no further. I found one of the best insurance agents in New York State. His name is Steve Foray. He heads up the Foray Agency, located in East Islip, New York. Give him a call and his team a call now at 631-581-3400. Steve Foray, who might I add, is a very active member in his community, specializes in competitive pricing for most of your insurance needs, which includes auto insurance, homeowners insurance, renters insurance, life insurance, and small business insurance. Again, call Steve Foray at 631-581-3400. Their insurance agents have been serving New York communities for two generations. Each Foray agent is licensed to help you and your family with all your insurance needs. At the Foray Agency, you'll get the personalized service and professional insurance advice you are looking for. Again, look no further. Call Steve Foray now for any type of insurance quote. His number, 631-581-3400. You won't be disappointed. Just mention you heard about his agency from Bobby Cohen on Takeover Talk. Again, his number is 631-581-3400. Call Steve today. He's waiting for your call. Thank you. Okay, we have another caller. Who's that, Pete?
Hey, Bobby. How you doing?
Pete. I'm good. Thanks for taking the time, Pete, to always call in. What's cooking? What's on your mind?
Nah, nothing much. Just basically, to reiterate a few of the topics I've talked about over the past. I know I saw that, you know, gold and silver caught a little bit of a bid this past week, you know, with the market turmoil. Still a little bit, I still think it's a little bit early. But I still see a lot of these junior miners or, you know, some miners that are mentioned consistently that people should probably have on their radar for when the time is going to be right, because they're going to really have to start ramping up. And some of these companies do have, you know, some quality in the ground, or quantity, I should say, and quality, that's waiting to get mined as soon as it becomes feasible, which I think it is. Anyway, a couple of the stocks to keep an eye on would be IAG, Emma Gold, Goldfields, GFI, Goldcorp, GG, Yamana, AUY, McEwen, MUX, just to name a few. So
Pete,
it's something that
Pete,
I was, you know.
Pete, do you think you could just slowly give those names again? Let people put pen to paper. So give them a few seconds so they can get a pen and put pen to paper. Could you slowly mention those names again that they should do their due diligence on, Pete? Why don't you give me their names and their symbols? Okay, Pete, you go.
Yep.
Thanks.
Okay. Symbol name is Emma Gold, IAMAGOLD. Symbol is IAG, Ida Apple George. Goldfields, GFI is the symbol. Goldcorp, GG is the symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Yamana Gold, YAMANAAUY, which they say is kind of making a comeback at this point in time.
Got it.
There's another one, I believe it's McEwen Mining, Bob McEwen. He's one of the pioneers in the mining industry. Very smart man. Mary Uncle X-Ray.
Got it.
Just name a few. Keep on the radar as we, you know, as we move the ball forward, and when the time is right, that gold and silver will be making the real move. I don't think it's ready yet. There are a lot of headwinds out there, Bobby, as you're well aware of. Last week was a little bit of a taste what could happen on a bigger level. You have a Fed right now, which is in a tightening stage, draining liquidity out of the system, and you have a ton of fiscal stimulus going on, you know, with the tax cuts and spending. For your listeners out there, and it's just, you know, the reason why I believe at some point gold and silver, you know, gold always acts well in an inflationary environment at some point in time, and it always acts well in a deflationary environment at some point in time. It can even act well in stagflation, but...
No, Pete, to your point, either you want to be on the right side of history or you want to be on the wrong side of history. I get that. And like I always mentioned, and even Pete, when I owned the brokerage firm for many, many years, and when I was involved as a managing director on a hedge fund, we used to say, and we all know timing is everything in life, and everyone would love perfect timing. But if I had gun to head, I'd rather be a year or two early than a day late on an investment, such as gold, silver, market timing. And again, I'm not, it's not a cliche. It's not easy picking a direction in the stock market. You know that, Pete.
No.
You know that all too well, correct?
Yes, correct. And right now you have to be really, you have to start applying some, taking money off the table, applying some safety. This is the longest bull market in history. There are, I guess you could say, conflicting reports out there. The economy's booming in certain instances, and then in certain instances, as the president mentioned during the week, with the Fed, they don't go too crazy with raising the rates because that can slow down the economy. But if the economy's booming, you need to normalize the rates. So there's always a lot of conflicting news out there on what's really going on. So it wouldn't be unusual, and that's barring any sort of event that happens that is unforeseen or some of the things that are already, let's face it, the debt has not gone away and it's still going higher. So a lot of the problems that have been built into the macro economy are still there. Nothing has changed. So again, not to be off topic too much, people should be looking in the gold and silver as far as for a hedge, and as well as plenty of probably potential acquisition targets down the road, but also aware of from a market standpoint.
Yes. Well, no, Pete, I think, your timing in reference to is uncanny only because which I mentioned a couple, 3 weeks ago, American, Barrick Gold, took over Rand Gold and, creating,
right.
I believe, the largest gold miner in the world. So, it could be a precursor. It could be a precursor to what is going to happen for M&A in the space that you are mentioning. So, I do think 100%. That it's, I don't think it's crazy. I think you could be crazy like a fox. Again, you may be a little early, but like I mentioned, we'd always rather be a little early than a day late, Pete. And again,
not only
keep
that,
in mind,
that, but with your people too that are looking, as far as the M&A that may go on in the gold and silver, sector at some point in time, the stocks are at are at the bottom of the range, and I mean the real bottom. So at the end of the day, you have one way to go. Let's put it that way.
Well, Pete, I think to your point, to use a certain cliche, the baby can't fall off the floor. You know what? The baby is kind of
exactly.
The baby's like on the floor. Isn't that kind of what you're saying, Pete?
Yes, exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly
okay,
right. If the dollar wasn't holding so strong, you'd probably be catching much more of a bid in gold and silver, except for these little relief rallies. But you know, you're hearing negative divergences out there that the economy is booming, and yet there are certain people that are saying the economy could start slowing. The Fed Bullard came out a couple of weeks ago, Bullard from the Fed, and he mentioned that he saw continued strong growth into 19, but then he sees a slowing. So, you know, you got to watch. There could be potential. You got high amounts of debt, liquidity raining, the Fed taking in liquidity from, out of the system, interest rates rising, but yet you have a ton of fiscal stimulus. So, you know the story. I don't have to tell you.
No, this is, by the way, this is a tough market. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is a very tough market. And making money in the stock market is not easy, Pete. I get that, and I try to share that with my listeners as well. Okay, Pete? And look,
yep.
Pete, that was a great narrative on the precious metals. And I hope to hear from you next week as well, okay, Pete?
Yep. Sounds good. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, Pete. Thanks for calling. Thank
you. Yeah, take care. Yep, bye-bye.
You got it. Thanks, Pete. Boy, that's Pete. Boy, he is very well-versed on the capital markets and the economy, I have to tell you. He's just a wealth of knowledge. And, boy, I like when Pete calls in, for sure. Okay. Keep in mind, call in and talk to me. The dial-in number, don't wait until the last minute. You're not going to get in. Is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. Hey, and by the way, if you would like a private Takeover Talk workshop with me, Bobby Cohen, drop me off an email now for details. My email address is rcohen9074@aol.com. That's rcohen9074@aol.com. If you'd like to get information on a private Takeover Talk workshop with me, Bobby Cohen, okay? Okay. The next company I'd like to talk to you about is called Bluebird Bio. Bluebird Bio is a clinical stage biotechnology company. Its integrated product platform includes gene therapy and cancer immunotherapy and gene editing. The stock is currently trading at $124. The 52-week high is $236.17. Listen to this. The 52-week low, $120.02, which it hit today. I found a December 13th, 2017, again, going back a few months, not a year, but almost a year. It's a Motley Fool article. The headline, 5 biotech candidates for 2018. It stated Bluebird Bio is a top buyout candidate, they believed, in 2018. The article went on to say, of these 5 buyout candidates, the author believed Bluebird is probably the strongest lock to get taken out in 2018. The company's newly unveiled CAR-T data in multiple myeloma, after all, is simply too compelling to ignore for companies like Johnson & Johnson or Bluebird partner Celgene. Long story short, the article states, Bluebird's CAR T candidate produced response levels in advanced multiple myeloma patients that could catapult this therapy to mega blockbuster status in breakneck fashion. Now, this was back in December 7, 2017, and a lot could have happened since then. The article continues to say, adding fuel to the fire, Bluebird also has two other high-value late-stage clinical candidates in the works for treatment of transfusion-dependent beta thalassemia and cerebral, I can't even pronounce that word, so I'm sorry. But to make a long story short, so with a price tag of only perhaps $15 to $18 billion in a buyout scenario, Bluebird comes across as a near surefire buyout candidate. In 2018, the article says. The author says he thinks Celgene will be the company that brings home this top prize in biotech. With all that's at stake in multiple myeloma after all, Celgene simply can't afford to let Bluebird get away. That being said, the author wouldn't be surprised if Amgen, Johnson & Johnson, or Gilead Sciences also made a play for Bluebird Bio in 2018. Now, again, this article was dated December 2017. A lot could have happened since this article. I didn't get into the finer details of Bluebird Bio. So please do your own homework. Do your own due diligence on Bluebird Bio. Symbol, blue, B-L-U-E. We have another caller. Franco, thank you for calling.
Hey, Bobby, how are you? Always nice talking to you.
Oh, Franco, it would not be.
How was everything with you?
Good, good, Franco. Just so you know, it would not be a Monday of Takeover Talk if I didn't hear from my friend Franco. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you. I have a question for you. I was listening to a lot of people today on TV and the radio. What is the correlation between the stock market and the 10 treasury bonds?
Got it. Got it. So your question, Franco, is, what is, you would like to know if there is a correlation between direction of stock market and the direction of the 10-year treasury bond, correct, Franco?
Right. Okay. Exactly.
Okay. Well, usually, not always, usually if the 10-year treasury bond goes down, that means the yield of that treasury bond would go up. Now, money, by definition, always seems to gravitate towards the best ROR, which is rate of return, which I think you'd agree with. So if rates go up on the 10-year, there may be less people that might want to put money in the stock market. They may say, I'm going to get more of a yield, a possible better rate of return, a fixed rate of return with the 10-year, and you might start seeing money move out of the stock market and into a higher yield treasury bond. So if so, your the quick answer is sometimes, not always, if yields go up in the 10-year, you may see the stock market start to come down, which is what transpired, Franco, last week, because the 10-year note started to move quickly to 3.25%. And when that happened, the stock market started to adjust and came down dramatically over that 48-hour period. It did make a comeback on Friday, but the jury is still out to see if we are in for a meaningful correction. Nobody knows for sure, Franco, as we know. Okay? But that is usually, not always, but usually a correlation that if the yields go up in a 10-year, many times the Dow Industrials or the S&P would come down a bit. It would take some of the air out of the bubble because, like I said, money always gravitates towards the best ROR rate of return and possibly the safest. And with the Fed, Federal Reserve, now looking like it's taking the training wheels off, meaning starting to raise rates, that maybe, just maybe, the stock market has competition now for assets, and which it has, you know, there was, you know, for the last many years, Franco, the last 9 years, there's really been no other place to go because interest rates were so low, everybody piled into the stock market. You agree, Franco?
Right. And actually the bonds, they look like they went to sleep. Now, what I think is because people also start putting money on CDs, especially on the fixed CDs, in which they might be paying almost 3% now. But the big advantage, and correct me if I'm wrong, with the bonds, because they are municipal bonds, some of them, you don't have to pay taxes on them. While on the CD, you do have to pay tax on them.
Oh, no, you're 100% correct. 100% correct. But, you know, again, you know, not everyone has the bandwidth to buy a municipal bond. CDs, you know, you could buy for, you know, for $100, maybe $500 minimum. So people are starting now to finally, after 9 years, Franco, starting to possibly get some yield in their bank account, either it being a one-year CD or possibly a money market account that's in the bank. Now, most people don't know this, and they should know this, that there's a difference between a money market account at the bank and a money market fund. A money market in the bank, your money is FDIC insured. The government insures that money. But if you have money in a money market fund, mutual fund, that money is not guaranteed, even though it is usually pretty safe money, but it's not guaranteed. Most people, Franco, are not aware of that fact.
Right, which I am aware of that, but that's what I'm saying. So the advantage are on the municipal bonds, it could be then some of them are tax-free. And the CDs, you have to pay taxes on that money.
Franco, 100%. To your point, you're right. If you live in New York State and you buy a New York State triple tax exempt bond, you're right. You, by definition, should not have to pay any taxes on that money at all. It's just that, you know, your risk is duration risk, meaning a one-year CD is just 1 year, and that you're only locked in for 1 year. If you buy a municipal bond or any bond, you're, you know, if you decide to hold on, you could, you know, you may have to hold on for many years. Correct, Franco?
Right. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you very much, as usual, for your input, and I love your show.
Oh, Franco, thank you. And by the way, Franco, that was a great question, by the way. You know, and you put it in such simple terms, by the way. And I think that's a question that many, many of our listeners probably did not know the answer to, and are glad that you asked that question. Okay, Franco? Thank you again, Franco.
Thank you again. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care, Bobby. Bye.
Thank you very much. Oh, that was a great question by Franco. Just, you know, again, Franco asking in reference to the correlation between, you know, interest rates, the 10-year bond, and the 10-year bond and the equity market. Wow, I have to tell you, I'm getting whispered in my ear that my 1 hour is up already. Wow, did it go fast? How many people called in? Okay, again, if you want to contact me, please shoot me off an email at rcohen9074@aol.com. If you would like a private Takeover Talk workshop with me, Bobby Cohen, drop me an email now, rcohen9074@aol.com. Hey, listen to me. It was a great show. I couldn't have done it without you, my listeners. It was another tremendous hour of Takeover Talk, October 15th. I will see you next Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, and I'll see you next week. Thank you all. Bye-bye.